As we've done these Bible readings, I've been so excited. I don't have much time to just read the Bible because I'm doing lessons all the time. And with this series of messages, I have read the Bible. I mean, I read this many times over before I do it in each class, but we've done about 60 or 70% of the Bible so far. That's a lot. And we're in the book of Genesis now. We're going to do Genesis, Exodus. And so I hope that you have got a foundation on where everything is happening. Now, in the book of Genesis, in the first two verses, the only place we're going to go in Genesis right now. We're going to go in these two verses, Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1 and 2. We are going to be talking about something that took place in eternity past. This is before the creation of man or anything that we know today, the world as it is today. This is long beyond that. And I will read it to you from Greek, or not Greek, but Hebrew. I'll comment it on Greek also, Aramaic or whatever, as we go through this. It begins, the book of Genesis, as Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, Weth Haaretz. Now, let's go back and look at it in the English translation. In the New American Standard, it says, in the beginning. And that is not a good translation. There is no the there. Actually, it's Barashith. Barashith is one word. Barashith. In that word, based on the front of that, is a preposition, page 88 in Brown, Driver, Briggs, and Roche, page 912. That's head or tip or way long time ago. And then the tau on the end of that, the modern lexicons have it in the feminine, but it is not feminine. It is not singular. In beginnings. In beginnings is what it says there. In one of the beginnings, or in one beginning. It's plural. You have to look that up in the grammars, and Yersinius grammar is the one that you need to look at it, because it tells about the old Hebrew. Yersinius was one of the greatest Hebrew scholars there was. A lot of the scholars at that time were very they disagreed with him, but they were wrong. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings. The book of Genesis is beginnings. The word Genesis is from the Hebrew genemai. Barashith is the name of this book in Hebrew. We're back here in eternity past now. This is way back yonder. In one of the beginnings, or in a beginning, God. Actually, God is the third word. Barashith, bara. Bara is a verb. It is third person, masculine, singular, tau, perfect. In beginnings, he had created. Third person, masculine, singular, tau, perfect. He had created God. Et Hashemayim. We et Hashemayim. He created the earth. But this is before the earth. This is before the earth was created. He created the earth, but this is before the earth was created. What it says here, Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim. Et Hashemayim, Eth on the front of that is the sign that the deductive power and force is going to go there, is what it's saying. Hashemayim, you could say, translate that as universe. Universe, it means uplifted waters. It meant everything above the earth, but the earth wasn't there yet. Everything, all the cosmos, in beginnings he had created God, the heavens, the cosmos. Then it says, we et ha'aretz. We, conjunction. Et, again, sign of direct object. Ha'aretz, the earth. We et ha'aretz. Eretz there means earth, the dry land, earth. So God created everything out there in the universe, and then He placed the earth in exactly the right place. And that's the first word, the first verse now. And it's not created in time. This is not in the 6 day of creation. Okay? This is an eternity past. This is way long time ago. Now, verse number 2, it says in the Hebrew, if I can read it here, the printing is so small, We ha'aretz hahiyah tohu wavohu. We hoshik el panei tohom. We ruah elohim meripacheth el panei hamayim. Now, I'm not teaching Hebrew especially here, but these two verses are extremely important in Hebrew because no translation brings out what the Hebrew says. Except the Sacred Name Bible, which is over there someplace. It does translate it correctly. Now it says here, We ha'aris, and the ha, we and ha, definite article, Eretz, and the earth. Okay? It does not say was. It does not say was. Here it is, Hahya. It means she had become. She had become. Third person, feminine singular, cal perfect. She had become tohu without form. The earth had formed before. Now, I read here in one of the commentaries on this that said that the people that believed in the gap theory is not a theory. The gap fact is a fact. There is a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And a whole lot of things take place and nothing else explains it but this. Besides that, they don't know the Hebrew. If they knew the Hebrew, they would know it's there. There's no guessing about it. The earth, she had become tohu wabohu. Without form and empty, a chaos. And then it says, we hoshik and darkness, el panei, it was upon the faces of the deep to home. There was darkness on the face of the deep. Now, we have light before. Who was the light in the original creation of God? Who was the light?
God was.
Lucifer.
Well,
Lucifer was light. His name means Lucifer, light. Light carrier. He was part of the light, but then he rebelled against God, and it all became darkness. He's the author of darkness. Of the deep, to home, we roah Elohim, and Spirit God here. It says in the Jewish Publication Society, a wind from God. We're not talking about a wind from God, we're talking about Spirit God. Spirit God, Meripasheth. Okay, that's a feminine singular. Participle. That means worrying, suffering, weeping over, mourning over, brooding over. El, the upon faces of the waters. Spirit God moved over, mourned over, sorrowed over the faces of the waters, because everything had become a chaos. God did not create the earth in chaos. The Babylonian idea of creation was that God created the earth in chaos and then brought out a chaos form, and we see that in many commentaries. You see the same thing. Now let's go to the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And we're going to get a little bit of idea of what happened here. The earth was not created in chaos and without form. God does not create chaos. He creates form. He creates order. The word cosmos there, that Hashemayim, it has order in it. Order. He created the cosmos, and then he put the earth in it. And the earth was perfect and formed perfectly when it came from the hands, the lips of God. Okay, Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? Now, it's talking to Hillel here, the light carrier. When Jerome translated the Old Testament from Hebrew, he translated the word Lucifer. O Lucifer, how have you fallen? In the New Testament, we find that Lucifer took one-third of the angels. In the book of Revelation, he took one-third of the angels. Jesus said he saw him fall as a lightning bolt to earth. That's destruction. Satan destroyed what God had formed in perfection. The opposers of this, what we might call gapped fact, they don't know the Hebrew, number one. And they use the excuse that those that believe in that are trying to make excuses for the earth not being 6,000 years old only. The Bible says this happened in eternity past. How long in eternity past was the earth created? I don't know. Neither do they. I can just console myself at ignorance because nobody else knows either. But it could have been a million years. It could have been 10 million years. How long did Lucifer serve God? How long did he serve God? We don't know. How have you fallen, O Lucifer, from heaven? O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. The nations, what nations is talking about? The angelic nations and spiritual nations. He took one-third of the angelic nations and one-third of the spiritual nation with him. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God are the angels of God and God's throne room up there. He's going to go higher than the throne room of God, he said. And I will set in the mount of the assembly into the recesses of the north. Here, according to this, and I believe the Bible is inspired, absolutely. Here it says that heaven is at the northest part of the earth and goes straight up into the third heaven. We know there are three heavens. The heaven where the birds fly and the atmosphere is. The heaven where all the galaxies are, the stars, by the millions. And then the abode of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? He totally destroyed this earth. I have drilled water wells and oil wells, and sometimes over a mile deep, and you can find surface stuff down there. Things were on the surface one time. Animals. All kinds of stuff. You can find this down there. You can find petrified shells, plant life. It's there. How did it get there? Well, the only way it got there is if you just read the Word of God and let the Word of God tell you what happened. Who shook the kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness? He did. That's how the earth was destroyed. That's how it became formless and void. Who overthrew its cities? Who did not allow his prisoners to go home. Now, this is a Duel prophecy. It's talking about the king of Tyre and talking about Lucifer both. Talking about Babylon. Now, the next verses in Ezekiel talks about the king of Tyre. This one talks about the king of Babylon. But the primary interpretation of it is of Lucifer, Hillel, when he fell and when he destroyed the earth. Now, let's look at another thing where it talks about Satan. And Satan was over the material creation of God, and his throne room was on the earth. His throne room was Eden. Now, let's go back and look at this. In verse number 11, 28th chapter. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God. Now, it's talking about the king of Tyre, but also the king of Tyre is a type of Satan. Many things here that are written in here do not have anything to do with the king of Tyre at all. He said, You had the seal of perfection. God did not create Satan at all. He created Lucifer. Lucifer became Satan. He created Hillel. God didn't create any angel fallen. He created no man fallen. He created no man reprobate. He created no angel reprobate, but they had volition. You had the seal of perfection full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan was one of the most, or Lucifer was one of the most beautiful of all angels. He was a cherub, a cherubim. You were in Eden, the garden of God. That's earth. Eden, there are two Edens in the Bible. One Eden was the throne room of Lucifer, and one Eden is the throne room of Adam when God put him there to replace Satan. You're in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Now, by the way, Muhammad's description of that horse thing that came and took him and took him up into the seventh heaven, he said, and took him to Jerusalem, is the description of exactly, he described it with these words right here. These words are describing Satan, Lucifer. Every precious stone which you're covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. You were perfect. God does not create imperfect stuff or things. He did not create a world in chaos. He created a world in order, a cosmos in order. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub. The king of Tyre was never in Eden. And the king of Tyre was not anointed cherub. You were the anointed cherub. He was an archangel. He was a head angel. Michael, Lucifer, and Gabriel were the angels. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Lucifer was over the material creation of God. Michael is over the spiritual realm, and Gabriel is over the informational transmission of messages and knowledge. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I placed you there. Where? Where did he place it? In Eden, on the earth. Okay. I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. The word mountain means government, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. On the holy government of God. He was part of the holy government of God. He was over the material creation. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire, and that's talking about what? The throne room of God. You were blameless in your ways. How long was he blameless in his ways? How long did Lucifer serve God? He was a choir leader of all the angels of heaven. How long did he do that? I remember a movie so long ago called Daniel, the Devil and Daniel Webster. And the old devil there, somebody read the Bible, because he said, you know, he said, I'm not really bad. He said, all I wanted to do was a little recognition, and I wanted to be recognized and worshipped too. Yeah, he wanted to be worshipped like God. He wanted to replace God. From the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you, unrighteousness became in you. No was there, it's unrighteousness became in you. He changed from a perfect created being to an unrighteous fallen angel, cherub. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. And you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mouth of God. He was cast out of heaven, and he hit the earth and destroyed in destruction. That was his throne room. From the mountain of God, I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. The king of Tyre was not a cherub. He was not over. He was not anointed. He was not placed like Satan was over, or Lucifer was over, the material creation of God. He was the administrator over the material creation of God. And then, as we find out in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, God creates man and he places him to do exactly the same thing that the anointed cherub did. Man was over the earth. He was to rule over all the things, over all the fishes of the sea, and over all the birds of the sky, and over all land mammals, great and small, and everything that creeps. And from the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was filled, lifted up because of your beauty. There's an old story. Pretty is as pretty does. Have you ever seen a beautiful woman and she was beautiful until she opened her mouth or started doing things? And then she was pretty no more? Pretty is as pretty does. He said your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of splendor. You corrupted. God gave him great wisdom to be administrator over God's material universe. And he corrupted it. Your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings. Now here, Melek, kings and angels are very closely, Melek, Melek. Two words sound just almost alike. I cast you down over the other in the face of the other angels, the other administrators. There's at least two other archangels, even though the Bible only speaks of Michael as an archangel, but we believe there were three. Most people do. I put you before the kings, that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. He profaned the earth. He destroyed the earth. The earth became tohu wabohu. Therefore I brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth. In the eyes of all who see you, all who know among the people, they have become terrified, and you will be no more. From eternity to eternity. That's what we're talking about. From eternity past, when God created Lucifer, he became Satan. He destroyed the earth. The earth became tohu wabohu. And now we go through time and we look that he's going to be just burned up, basically in fire, burning, 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 asbestos burning. The word is asbestos in Hebrew, or in Greek, that is, in the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Today, Satan is our archenemy, isn't he? God's still God's archenemy. Why does he, why we look at things and we ask, why, God, are you allowing him to do this? God knows more than all of us do. I am a theologian. I've been a theologian for a long time. I've read all these books in this library. I've read what other people said, and I've read the Bible. I devoted my life studying Greek and Hebrew and teaching the Bible from Greek and Hebrew. Hebrew is a very beautiful language and a powerful language. The Bible was written not in English. The Old Testament was not written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew and Chaldee. From those languages, the Bible is inspired. When it was translated from the Hebrew into Greek, there was some mistranslations. And I could have my students go through and they could tell you where all the mistakes were when they translated into the Septuagint. The New Testament was written in Greek, the most perfect language ever devised. Without doubt, God wanted it in those two languages. The power of creation in the Old Testament and the force of it and the perfection of the doctrines of God in the New Testament. The New Covenant. Our Father, we send this message out. Father, I pray that you use it throughout the world, that you open people's eyes, open their ears to your word, and open their hearts to the knowledge of what you have done. Not the interpretations of the Bible, but the Bible and what it really says. Help us give glory to you in all things. You created all things in perfection, not in a chaos, not in a crude form, but perfection like you. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And I pray for my students all over the world that you open their eyes, that you protect them from wherever they are, and they're all over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.